We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It is Sunday night. It's good to be talking baseball. We're going to talk Fab. We're going to talk some news and notes. We're going to talk about a number of offensive players who are off to really, really poor starts. All coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Happy Sunday evening, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Scott Jensta, joined as always on Sunday by Jeff Erickson. We are sponsored by Prize Picks. We thank them for the sponsorship of the podcast very much there. Jeff, it's been another week of injuries and crazy stuff in baseball. How is everything in your baseball world there?
Pretty good. I mean, I've got some leagues that are requiring more work than others, as is the case usually, but you know, I'm having a lot of fun. LA De La Cruz is good this week, so it's fun watching that. Our Reds had a great weekend after a terrible start to the week. I'm in a good mood.
That is good. You guys are. I watch your team in the main event. You guys are hanging in there really nicely. Good place to kind of be in after you know, what is this, 3.5 weeks or so. Right. My team's less so. There's been a really rough start. I'm enjoying it less than you are at the so far. I haven't had this many. This is a bad start in quite a while, so it's gonna be digging out of some holes here. But I'm looking forward to the challenge a little bit, while wishing I didn't have to partake in it.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Scott. It's no fun being part of the 700 club or 800 club now.
I'm not quite there, but I'm not. No. I'm not far away from it at the moment.
No, that's just as more self-referential there, self-deferential even, as the case may be. You've got some struggles, but you're also a veteran of this process. You know how things can change in a hurry. Your players start doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's okay. And I know you've got some, it's mostly on the pitching side where you need to do a little bit of work. And that's the thing that can kind of turn things around pretty quickly too.
Yeah, it can. And I think the point of a lot of my players need to do what they're supposed to do is pretty big, although I had some injuries, but most of it's just been poor performance. But, you know, again, it's April 21st. Like, it's going to look a lot different in a couple of months. But my Vegas main event league is really, really active in Fab. So it's been a tough struggle there. Like, guys that I'm getting in other leagues, I'm not even close to getting. So as we get into Fab, we'll talk about that. But it's interesting how, you know, a league like that, my league's really active, can really impact a lot. But before we get into Fab, Jeff, baseball is wild. There are two, like, historically bad teams right now.
There are.
Colorado's awful. They're 5-17, but they're still better than the White Sox, who are 3-18 right now, have lost three in a row. They've given up, they've scored 45 runs in 21 games, been shut out 7 times. I think the stat was the only team since stats started in 1901 that's had 7 shutouts in the first 20 games of the season. I know they had like 3 of their main hitters hurt, but man, the Rockies are really bad, but the White Sox are just horrid.
Yeah, and let's not forget special love for the Marlins here too. I mean, they're right. They got to enter the chat here as well.
You're right. They have one more win than the Rockies do. You're right. Wow.
Yeah. And their run differentials in that same zone as well, which is pretty crazy. Rockies did win the first game of this doubleheader and a pretty bizarre finish to the game. I don't know if you saw the 9th inning/extra innings.
I saw the fan reaching over and they ruled an out rather than a home run, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Not a ground rule double, not a homer, but an out.
I saw a quick clip of it. Was it the right call?
I think it was definitely fan interference. I don't think the ball would have gone out. And I guess there's not much leeway between, like, either it's an out or it's a homer. I don't think they could have ruled it a ground rule double because it's not like, because it clearly interfered with the fielder is the way I saw that there. That was my interpretation of it. Other people might choose to differ on that one there, but yeah, it was definitely interference. It was weird seeing it go straight to the out. And then the Mariners score a run. Yeah. Andres Munoz comes in and he blows the save with a little help from the defense on the go ahead run. But Munoz, who doesn't even get that many save chances, blew that one.
Yeah, obviously started with the ghost run on first, but he had three hits in the inning. So, I mean, he did a lot of damage himself there too.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just looking at the quote from the comment in the chat from PJ there. He goes, "My Marlins not in this conversation. Praise Jesus. Then damn it, Jeff."
Yeah, and of course the Mariners scored 10 runs in the second game. George Kirby throws 5 shutout innings in the first game, and they the Mariners get
poor George Kirby. Yeah,
I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. It was interesting that they took him out though. He had 88 pitches after 5. I guess throwing in cores, maybe that was enough. I thought he'd go one more inning, but
we've had the conversation about Kirby's pitch count before in the past. So
yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say about that. By the way, Siege is right. By the way, the Rockies deserve the out because the fan was stupid. It's your home team. Yeah. You know, if don't reach for the ball over the fence, it's a chance to win the game. You cost your team.
I think fans with a chance for a ball maybe care more of that than they do their team, I'm afraid.
It is the Rockies, and we know what the Rockies do. I don't even have to finish that sentence. Everybody knows it by now. They're not trying to win, so why should the fans care about costing one? I guess that's the thing.
Yeah, that is the theory there. But interesting enough, you mentioned some bad teams. Right above that, the last place team in the AL West, the Houston Astros are 7-16 right now. So I think we knew the White Sox were bad. We knew the Rockies were going to be bad. The Marlins, maybe we thought were going to be decent. We knew the A's are going to be bad. There's some bad teams in there. The both West divisions are kind of a mess. The best team in either West division is 13-11. That's the Dodgers, who did not have a very good week. They've lost 7 of the last 10, but Houston at 7-16 is one that we did not expect. And those had some injuries in the pitching staff. Valdez's been out. Justin Verlander just came back this week. But 7-16 for Houston is that's a rough start.
It's horrible. And, it's their pitching has been pretty awful, too.
They've given up the most runs in the American League.
Yeah. That's bad, I hear.
And only fewer runs than the aforementioned Rockies.
Right. And if you go by FIP, they're 24th in baseball. So it's not like this is a fluke either. They're not getting BABIPed or anything like that. They're
Hunter Brown would disagree with not getting BABIPed, but other than
not all of that is BABIP though.
No,
they have the third lowest strikeout rate per 9 innings in the league, at 7.775. So they're not missing bets. You know what happened? You know how you get BABIPed? By putting a lot of balls in contact in play there in the first place there. I know you should use K percentage, not K per 9, but I was on the page I was on Fangraphs. So if you want to look at it from that standpoint there, Houston's 19, it's second worst in the league if you go by percentage. So it's even worse at 19.4%. Only the Rockies, who are a metric ton away from that, at 17% are worse. It's a really bad strikeout rate. I mean, you can tell they need Verlander back. They need McCullers back. They need a miracle. They need J.R. Richard back. They need Mike Scott back. And then maybe they might have a good starting pitching staff.
Mike Scott and his sandpaper.
Yes, absolutely. Not bitter.
We're going to talk, hitters who are struggling later, but one guy's not in the list, but I just looked into him. Jose Abreu looks absolutely fried. You look at everything. His slugging is 085 right now. That is crazy. He has one RBI, hitting kind of in the middle of a Houston lineup. It's 65 plate appearances, no home runs, no barrels. This is a wild. I know he was bad to start last year. He's bad to end 2022. He kind of turned it on last year. He's been utterly awful.
When we drafted Jose Abreu in the main event in the 21st round, the logic was, well, he's hitting in the middle of a good lineup. At least he won't be as bad as he was at the start of last year. Yeah. Joke's on us. We cut him.
Have you held or is it finally?
We cut him finally this week. We benched him this past week and we cut him today.
He was available in my main event. He got dropped last week and I did not bid on him. So that'll tell you whether or not I agree with your drop there. It's if he just looks, I mean, nothing looks good. He's striking out more than he ever has in his career by like 5%. It's like a 26% strike rate, not walking at all. Swing strike rates way up. It just looks, he looks like age caught up in some ways. 37. I mean, it's not, it happens. He's had stretches like this in the past, but yeah, you took him in the 21st round. You're like, oh, well, you know, that's 80, 85 RBIs at least. That's pretty solid in this round, but yeah, one so far.
Confidently come back after the break. I walk up to the table, Jose Abreu, because I think I went to the restroom right.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Your first pick after the break too.
Yeah. Yeah. We plotted this one out. Yes. Fortunately, other picks worked out better, but yeah, that one was a wasted pick. Could have had, well, the next two picks were Jeff McNeil and Chris Bryant, so that wasn't very good. Jake Cronenworth. It was a pretty bad round here.
If you're gonna have a pick not work out, the 21st round is an okay spot for that to be.
Yeah, I guess Brian De La Cruz was maybe the best pick of the round that I'm seeing hitter wise so far. Yeah, Bryce Terang at the very last pick of the round. Team Forsland had a nice pick there. Bryce Terang, that would have been useful to have.
A lot of steals there. The interesting part of the Astros though is just how awful the bullpen's been. Josh Hader's whip is 1.66. He got an 8.3 DRA. Ryan Presley's whip is over 2 so far. Like, they just, the back of that bullpen. And Brian Abreu, who was awesome last year, 1.8 whip. Like, these guys are putting two guys on base every single inning. That's hard to live that way.
It is. And I think they've really only blown like one lead. It's just a lot of times like Hader's pitching in non-leveraged situations because they just don't get leads, which is weird to say too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been, every time I see him pitch, he looks a little bit off. He gave up, he had 4 runs against the Braves earlier in the week, and he gave up, 2 hits and a run against the Nationals on Friday. He did get the second save in that game. But yeah, he's looked a little bit off. But Presley and Abreu, like, you just expect those guys to, dominate the seventh inning. It has not happened at all.
Yeah, it hasn't. Montero still not very good. It's a rough look. Dusty got out at the right time, apparently.
He might have. It's luckily for them, nobody in the AL West is playing well, so they're still kind of right in it. They're 5 games out, no big deal in April. But looking up to the other divisions here, just real quick before we get into some fancy stuff, the Cleveland Guardians, best run differential in baseball, first team to 15 wins. They won again today. They have 16. They swept the A's this weekend, 16-6. 124 runs scored is the most in the American League. Only second to, I think, the Braves have one more run in the National League. They've only given up 72 runs. The Guardians have been playing really, really well. Do you believe in this team at the moment?
I believe they exist. I believe they exist in the good
team realm.
No, not yet. I think they've had a very friendly schedule. They caught the Red Sox exactly the right time for that Fenway series. They played the A's twice, the Mariners on the road, the Angels, I think, on the road. The one series they had trouble was against the Yankees. I'm not there yet. And I'm not there yet on the hitting. I think Josh Naylor is legitimately good.
I'm not there on the pitching, so that's interesting.
Well, I'm not there on the pitching either, especially as currently constructed. When they get Gavin Williams back, I'll buy him a little bit more. But I wasn't in too avidly on the bidding for the two spots that were open in their rotation, Carrasco and Lively. I really wasn't in on those guys that much. I think they were like waterfall bids at best. I did pick up Tyler Freeman, though.
I picked him up too. He was really bad, and I dropped him, and then he was really good again this week.
Yeah. So we probably will get whipsawed by that. But I was cutting Jose Abreu, so why not?
We're doing preseason pods next year if you bring me back. Remind me that when I'm talking about players I like, just to draft them rather than trying to be too fancy, because I was between Josh Naylor and Yandy Diaz in my main event, and I just needed a little bit of batting average, and I figured, I got to take the better batting average guy here. I'm just going to take Yandy Diaz and lock that in, and boy, has that been a gigantic fail so far, because Naylor is crushing Yandy Diaz so far.
Yeah, he is, but Yandy Diaz isn't going to be bad. You're gonna probably regret it, but not as much as you are right now.
I think that's fair. I don't think any chance he hits 230 or whatever he's hitting now, but I just think Josh Naylor is really, really good.
Yeah.
20 RBI, 6 home runs. It's a really nice start for him.
Yeah. I'm loving some of the comments here. And Yandy is getting babbipped. So I think you'll be fine on that one.
It's just one of those guys that every time I usually like the Rays start their games at 4 Pacific time. I don't look for an hour. It's just like feels like he starts every game 0-2. It's wild.
3:40 Pacific time a lot of the times too. They're one of those early starters now. You know, they are. Cleveland is. Who else starts their games early? The Nats, I think, do. Our Reds, everybody's Reds do so as well.
When you throw a home run and three stolen bases in the same game, you get to is everybody's Reds right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Ellie is fun for sure. But let's hit a few news and notes before we do get into Fab and talking to struggling players. There were a lot of big injuries again this weekend. I feel like for a couple days we kind of avoiding them, and all of a sudden on Friday and Saturday they came pretty poorly. The big one was Francisco Alvarez. Big one because it was his long term. He's having thumb surgery for a torn ligament thumb. It sounds like he, according to his words, will be back 6 to 8 weeks. Seems like everybody's kind of going with that time frame. Really tough one because getting catchers, especially in a 15 teamer where you start two catchers, I mean, you're just getting the guys I was picking up are brutal. My question for you is: Would you have held or dropped Francisco Alvarez? Because I had a really difficult time with that one.
Yeah, as always, the wishy-washy answer, which is the accurate answer, is it kind of depends on, and the couple of the things that it depends on are you stashing anybody else, for instance? If you are, then it's more likely that you're going to cut them. Obviously, in a one-catcher league, it's a cut. In a two-catcher league, it's hard to find a catcher, but it's also hard to hold a guy for 8 weeks if you don't have IL spots, so... No IL spots, and you have one or two other injury or like Paul Skeens type of players, then you cut them, or you have to cut Skeens, which you're not going to do.
Can't they just call him up by now? I mean, just it's ridiculous. Let's call him up. I went back and forth about 12 times, and I cut Alvarez.
You did.
Was not one of those things. I wait 2 months on a guy with a thumb injury who's a catcher. It means I'm carrying a third catcher for 2 months because I could take a zero for a week or two. I wasn't taking a zero for 2 months. So I had to pick up a catcher. I just looked at depth and it was dropping him or it was dropping someone that, you know, was my backup third baseman or my seventh outfielder. And I just felt the way my team's going right now, not going very well. I needed the depth. If I was doing really well, maybe that would have affected it. Maybe I would have thought I can afford this, but I dropped him. My other thought on it was he wasn't really doing anything yet. I know that. So you're holding a catcher for 2 months that maybe when he comes back, we don't know he's gonna be that good. We don't know how much the thumb injury is going to affect him. It's not like you're dropping JT Realmuto or Adley Rutschman. It was someone that I really liked. Obviously I drafted him, but you know, hit 209 last year. There are some negatives here. Hard hit rate was down a little bit. Barrel was down. So he wasn't doing a ton. I'm probably just justifying and talk myself into it, but 2 months with the thought that I don't know what I'm getting when I get back. I don't know what I'm getting with a thumb injury. I decided to drop him and keep the roster spot. If he has 20 home runs in the second half, I'll be pretty sick about it.
What other options were available? I mean, what catcher options were available to you when you were dropping Alvarez?
I picked up Riley Adams in Washington. Unfortunately, I had really nothing available. I'm looking at my sheet here. My other main event, there were like two or three good options. Mm-hmm. I was between Riley Adams, Gary Sanchez, and Christian Vasquez, and Jake Rogers. So bad and bad and bad and bad.
Yeah, I think Adams can hit. It's just he's clearly number two. That's the only problem there.
Yeah, Keibert Ruiz is out right now. But yeah, once he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, long term. Yeah, you're right. But My thought
was literally playing it week by week, and I'm just going to – I'm not married to any of these guys. If Ruiz comes back and Adams goes back to the way it was, I'll just pick up someone else. But I just thought for me, using that roster spot, kind of rotating catchers rather than holding a third one made more sense. And I admit that it was a really tough call, and if Alvarez is really good in the second half, that one will hurt. I can always get him back, but I imagine someone will grab him before I do. I imagine he'll get picked up next week, would be my guess.
Yeah. Fortunately, I think I don't have him anywhere. I checked and double checked, didn't see him on any of my rosters, so I didn't have to make that tough decision. But I'm also the guy that's holding Luis Robert in a couple of leagues, so I don't know.
It's a tough call. I am holding Luis Robert where I had him in a 15 team or two. I just think that when he comes back, I feel much better about him being really, really good and a big ceiling than I do about Alvarez. So, but it was a tough call. I went back and forth a number of times. I could actually see the point for both sides. Actually, it's funny. There was probably guys that I would consider, you know, really, really elite NFBC players, you know, top players. One had as an easy drop and one has a definite hold. So there was the range of like people were completely on different sides of it.
Yeah, for sure. I understand completely on that one.
Tristan Casas in Boston went on the IL on yesterday. I think they announced it with a rib cage strain. When he first swung, I just assumed it was oblique. I think everybody grabs their side now. I just think oblique right away, but it was a rib cage strain. There haven't not been a timetable on him, so obviously you're holding Casas for now, but Casas, I always say it wrong.
I think it is Casas.
Yeah, I think I messed it up the first time. But someone that was also tough to replace. Corner is weirdly tough to find in 15-teamers. I've been looking for corners for a while here. There were a few names out there, but that's one that's tough, tough to lose. He had not done a ton so far. I just have six home runs, but he's only hitting 244, but a tough one to lose there for sure.
Yeah, and I didn't like some of the dialogue here either. Alex Cora was asked if he was concerned about a lengthy absence, and he said he responded yes.
Yep.
It's not right up there with we hope he plays again this year or he'll be back.
I always love that one.
Half or yeah. Something like that, but it's not great. Not great at all. Unfortunately, Bobby Dalbec is not their solution to this one here.
Whatever the question is, Bobby Dalbec is not the answer.
Certainly not this year. Boy, he's on the they're building a bus depot. He's not just on the struggle bus. He's on the struggle bus depot. He's so bad.
He may never be back to what we thought he was going to be at one point. I think that ship has probably sailed. It does. Couple of pitchers, I guess like three pitchers, but the first coach, Christian Javier and Merrill Kelly were both supposed to pitch today. They're both scratched today. Both went on the IL. Christian Javier with some neck discomfort. Merrill Kelly had an MRI on his shoulder, so that one is a little more concerning there. Javier's actually pitching pretty well. That was a tough one there, but neck discomfort, I probably take that over the shoulder every single day, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunate about that. Did Kelly go on the IL? I didn't see that.
Oh, did they not actually put him on yet?
No.
They still hope
it won't be necessary. And in fact, I think they called it a pause or something like that. But it might have come across Twitter. I think you're
right. They said they hope a trip is not necessary. So my apologies there. But I don't hit an MRI on his shoulder. I can't imagine they don't put him on there at some point.
Right. I'm with you on that one there. Called it a breather. That was the word I was looking for.
A breather. Great. Yeah, because that always
like works. That airplane joke, a little breather, and it's her Vilichev and all that. But,
35-year-old pitcher with his right shoulder. I'm not buying that, but you're right. But a scratch today. Obviously, can't use him next week. But hopefully that does not linger too long. Frankie Montas for our Reds was hit by a comebacker in the forearm. Sounded like he was just bruised, though. The x-rays were negative, likely to miss his next start. But it didn't sound like it was a long-term issue. You heard the same thing on him?
Yeah, I heard that it's an issue of swelling needing to go down. And the fact that they were able to declare that today, that he'll likely miss the next start, is kind of bothersome. The good news for the Reds, at least, is that they have Nick Martinez, who just pitched the day before and pitched three innings. So he's still kind of stretched out. He can go five probably, and it'll be his turn basically too. So they got through today. They still shut out the Angels today, which is a remarkable thing when Montas only got them two outs.
It is the Angels, though.
It is, although Taylor Ward's been good. Trout's been good.
Taylor Ward's been awesome. Taylor Ward's been huge. My team that's struggling, Taylor Ward's pretty much been keeping aloft. If I didn't have him, I don't know where I'd be.
Yeah. Chu and I have him as well. And
Was that Brent Suter with the bulk of innings today? Is that who I saw it was?
He was the guy that came in next. Yes. I don't know.
Like three or four innings though, right?
Yeah. And that's what he does.
That's what he does. Yeah. That's what he did in Milwaukee too.
That was a sneaky good acquisition because Suter actually pitched well in Colorado last year. And Suter went 3 1/3. You're right.
There you go.
Didn't miss that many bats, only two strikeouts, but he did what he was supposed to. Pagan gave them two. You know, the guy you want to watch out for, by the way.
Yes. Fernando Cruz.
Fernando Cruz. Fifth hole of the year today. Check out the dude's strikeout rate when you get a chance. He is missing tons of bats. It's pretty right now. 18-5K to walk in 9 innings.
Does he have a changeup? Is that what he throws that's really nasty?
I think it's a splitter, actually.
It's a splitter, okay. And I just know every time I see a GIF on him on Twitter, it's something nasty.
Yeah. He's great story, too. He made his major league debut at age 32. You know, he's someone that, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Bounced around a lot of places, played overseas for a while, persevered, finally made it. Now he's doing well. It's really kind of cool to see.
Question in the chat from our friend Kevin Hastings, who won the TGFBI overall a couple of years ago. Would you do you always have with guys being scratched on the day they pitched, do you always have a backup for Mondays? I always have two. I try to have like 11 pitchers that I'm comfortable throwing that week. I never go with nine. Never. Sometimes you have 10. Yeah, it's a bad matchup, so guys in the IL, but I try to have 11. Usually my goal is to have a couple of backs, but I always have an option where if someone gets scratched, something happens. I always have a 10th pitcher to throw on Mondays.
Doesn't have to be a starting pitcher. No, I think that's one takeaway. Is it can be Fernando Cruz, for instance.
But you always want a 10 and 11th, a 10th at least, hopefully 11th arm to put in there because there are just so many pitchers that between now and tomorrow game starts or even guys that start on Tuesday, just so much can change, especially with pitchers.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree with that. By the way, since we're talking about our Reds a little bit,
yes.
Can we mention the Cardinals right now?
Please do. My neighbor's a Cardinals fan, and I see him walking the dog every morning, and all he does is complain, so it must be going pretty badly for them.
I was going to say, is his head down? Is he very sad?
He is very sad. Hates Marmol and hates, is it Mozoliak? Is that his name?
Yeah, especially when you see Tyler O'Neill go nuts after getting a change of scenery trade, and then, of course, he got hurt, but still. It's a classic Cardinals thing there. Marmol just dragging his players in the public and all that like that last year. They've scored 76 runs in 22 games. I think they've gone 8 games now without a homer, which is just insane when you think about it, since Lars Nootbaar hit a homer. They're in a bad way right now. And I thought this was a team that was probably the best in the division. I fooled myself again into thinking that. Sonny Gray was an ideal acquisition, and he dealt today and got nothing like it. Cardinals had like the bases loaded. I think nobody out in the first inning and didn't score. Obviously,
and Blake Perkins robbed Nootbaar over the fence of a 3-1 homer, I think, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's only Nootbaar that can even hit it that far in the first place. They sent down Victor Scott. That experience did not go well.
Probably about a week too long. They really tried to talk themselves into him staying and his defense a lot, but it was he needed to get out of there. He needs to go get some at bats. And I mean, they pushed it pretty quick. I think he only played in Double A, right? He skipped Triple A totally.
I think you're correct on that one there.
Yeah, I think he was Double A last year. I mean, it was worth a shot, but I think that he only played Double A. He played Single A obviously too, but he did not play Triple A this year. He probably needs a month of Triple A to get the swing down, then maybe come back up.
Yeah, and a lot of players struggle in their first taste of the majors. So
for sure.
I mean, just look, you know, you can look at like Colton Cowser. You can look at Jordan Westberg as two very good examples.
You can look at Mike Trout and Alex Rodriguez, like stud struggled their first times up.
Yeah. Look at how many times A-Rod got sent down before he finally clicked.
They always had that like 10-step process in the forecaster about the Alex Rodriguez getting set down and back up and struggling and back up. And then all of a sudden winning MVPs and stuff really, really quickly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Couple other quick notes real quick so we can get to Fab. Anthony Rendon won the IL. Bye, Anthony. We don't want to talk about you anymore. That's fine here. Rafael Devers has been really frustrating, really bad, and then missing games at the shoulder. Then I guess it was a hamstring that turned into a knee. He missed the weekend, could return on Tuesday. Sounds like he and Tyler Leon both might play on Tuesday is the hope. Tough because they don't play Monday, so if you want to use him, you need somebody else that doesn't play Monday also, so you can slide in there if you need to adapt real quick.
Correct. That hits you in the main. It hits me in my AL home league Amiki, the one that started RotoWire. I'm awful in that league right now, and part of that is Devers, who I didn't get anywhere else, but I like the price I got him in that league.
I think I texted you when it happened. I have O'Neill and Devers on the same main event team, and they ran into each other. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Brutal. Just brutal.
You always get like the, oh my God, you got a collision, but getting a collision with the same, maybe I should just draft 30 guys on 30 different teams and solve that problem.
Yep. Put them on the IL, let them fully heal both the shoulder and the knee. That's the way I'd wish for it to happen. And then I have the certainty of knowing that he's not going to play, except he's supposed to come back on Tuesday instead. So.
Yeah, he is. So we'll see there. A couple of guys starting the rehab assignment. Some good news here. Yoan Duran starting rehab assignment on Tuesday. So not too far away from him closing for the Twins. Brian Wu pitched really well today in his first rehab outing. So he's making progress. Probably a couple more of those till you can throw him in your lineup. And Max Scherzer making his first rehab on start on Wednesday. So we do have some pitchers hopefully making their way back. Obviously, hope for no setbacks here, but maybe some guys to come save the troops at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. And Rangers are about to be really crowded. They solved one of the, you know, we spent a lot of time on SiriusXM this week just, you know, figuring out how much are we going to be bidding on Jack Leiter, and then he got crushed by the Tigers and got sent back down. So yeah.
Did you think about bidding him and holding him since he was available now?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, I kind of thought about it. I did too, and then I'm like, I can't do it.
I didn't even bring it up with my with Shu in the process of our bidding. Instead, we got a guy that subsequently got sent down. So we're awesome because we ended up getting Vines. So that was a fail.
Oh yeah, I'm just looking here. Jack Lehrer got added for $25 in my Vegas main event. So someone was in on that for a decent price, and then he did not get added in my other one. So one for two there. But Zach Waxman does a fab recap on every Sunday night. That's really good. That he writes a whole document on it. So I'll check that out. But I'm sure he'll have that stuff in there too.
Who thought at the beginning of the week there'd be more Mark Leiter ads than there would be Jack Leiter ads?
That's pretty funny. We were talking Cubs closer in a second, but there were definitely more Mark Leiter than Jack Leiter. Let's get into Fab. But first, a note from our sponsors at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Jeff, I took a look at this. I looked at tomorrow's games. Miles McBride is my pick. Over 8 points for the Knicks. I really like McBride. I think he's a fun player for the Knicks. So that's my pick there for Prize Picks. He had the 24 points in game one. His over-under is eight. So I'm all in on that.
Yeah.
The site has Prize Picks has quick withdrawals, easy game plan, enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo card ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. So, Jeff, let's start with offense and Fab. I thought there was a lot of interesting names in offense this week. Not as many in pitching, but had some interesting names. First one at the top was with the Dodgers here in L.A. Andy Páez got called up, power-hitting corner outfielder for the Dodgers. Been playing every day, hit his first home run today. They finally kind of exploded. They had 10 runs on the Mets. I missed on Páez. I got outbid. I thought I had some pretty competitive bids in kind of the 80s and 90s range. He went more than that in my leagues. How do you feel about Páez moving forward, both in terms of talent, playing time, and what'd you do with him this week?
Got outbid in the main. He went for 104. I think we're around the 50s or so. But we're trying to focus more of our resources on pitching anyhow. Yeah. We're lucky to have that luxury, despite having to cut Jose Abreu today. But I did get Andy Páez in yogurt, and I calibrated for my league appropriately. I got him for $23 in yogurt. So very happy about that.
That's really funny because I also calibrated, but I did not get him, I don't think. I think he went for 50 a month.
Yeah. So happy to welcome him there. That's the only place I got Páez, I think.
I did calibrate in the online championship, the 12 teamer. I got him for 26 there. So I calibrated down. I'm trying to figure that out.
Weird.
They are weird. He could go for 220 or like seven.
Yeah. Like I spent $200 on a player in one of my 12 teamers. You won't be able to guess who. The answer may shock you.
I'm actually really curious now. Was someone really good dropped in your league?
Yeah. Someone that can be really good. Someone who's always injured, but is not injured now. That is your hint.
Pitcher or hitter?
Hitter.
Huh. Byron Buxton?
Surprise return from the IL this past week.
I am totally lost. Who is it? I can't.
Eloy.
Eloy. Oh, he was kind of a surprise, I guess. Yeah. How much did he go for?
Oh, what he went for, I'm kind of embarrassed to say because that was me. And I bid 213, thinking
was there a backup?
29.
All right.
Was there a backup? So you're saying that I was dumb for bidding that much.
I probably wouldn't have been that much, but I definitely would have been in, and it probably would have been a lot more than 29. I mean, I think that in a 12, I mean, you know, he's Eloy in a 12 teamer. He's not huge, but yeah, if he plays every day, like I think that, I kept him in the main event, so I didn't drop him. Homer today. Hitting in the middle of the White Sox lineup is a good thing, but we know it's not a good thing. It doesn't take a lot to do that, but yeah, probably a little aggressive, but I definitely would have been in on the bidding for sure. I would have won him in your league for more than 29. That's for sure.
Yeah, that was my mistake. I mean, it is a White Sox team context there, but he might get traded. In fact, I'd say the odds are pretty good that he gets dealt if he can stay healthy. Big word if there. Doing a lot of work.
In a 12-teamer, you can always find some guys. I worry less about a big spend there. And he's a potentially difference maker. He's a fourth, fifth round pick the last couple of years. I mean, he's someone that you just got to stay healthy. I think that I like Eloy a lot, but it's just a matter of it's strictly on the health. And you're right, he is healthy now, and that's what matters. The guy that I really wanted, and I think we probably talked about him in the preseason, was Willier Abreu in Boston. It's a tough spot. I really like the player a lot. Someone I drafted both main events, I had to drop him just because he wasn't playing at all the first couple of weeks. Now he's playing a lot. However, Tyler O'Neill's out. Rafael Devers is out. From listening to quotes from Alex Cora, I think Abreu is going to play every single day against righties. I think he's going to sit against a bunch of lefties. But, I mean, this is someone that was – you know, what was he? 24 home runs last year, 11 stolen bases. He was 19 and 31 in 2022 in the minors. I just really like the player. He looks good. He's hitting the middle lineup right now. Strikes out a little too much, but he's walking a bunch. Hard hit rate, barrel's been pretty good. Hard hit is not great, but the barrel rate's over 10%. Four stolen bases already this year. He had two more RBIs today. I like this lineup a little bit, especially when they get healthy, and I think he's going to play against righties. Just someone that I thought had some upside, whereas there's not many guys with upside this offense. I really like Abreu a lot. I got outbid on him in my Vegas main where I really wanted him. He went for 141 there. I thought I was pretty aggressive and I didn't get it, but I did get him in the other one for 56, I think.
We didn't get him. He went for 93 to 76, and I think we're like 59 is where we were at. So maybe I should have been a little bit more in on him. And I do agree with the sentiment he's going to play. As Siege points out, the Red Sox 40-man is just a disaster right now when it comes to hitters. They have so many injured guys or guys that are far away that they don't have really any hitters that they can add right now. But if Devers is back and then O'Neill comes back in short order from a concussion from the concussion protocol, I don't know. It might not be as long as I thought in terms of the run and playing time. But he had a really good week. Yeah. Abreu had a homer and three stolen bases. He's starting to look a little bit more at ease at the major league level. Remember, Abreu and Rafaela both are getting used to major league pitching.
And Rafaela played second 3 nights ago and shortstop the last two games. So maybe if he could play enough defense there, maybe that sticks and opens up an outfield spot there. But it's just they got a lot of guys hurt. So I do know the crunch is coming a little bit, but I do. Everything that Cora says, and it's been kind of the whole way through, although it didn't work early on, but it really seems like they want him to play at least against righties. Yeah. And I think that's pretty workable. And I just think that there's a legit, like, if you can squint a little bit, there's like a legit like 20-20 upside in this guy.
Yeah, I agree. And not only that too, Rafael is probably going to get most of his time at shortstop because of Story being out and because they found like other options wanting.
Seems like when Grissom comes back, they do not want him to play shortstop.
No, he's been playing second on his rehab assignment. Okay, I think they want him just to focus on that. Yeah. Well, he started DH, and then they were moving him to second. But they even had a quote saying they want him to get his reps at second base. So, yeah, that's where Grissom's going to probably play. And right now, this Red Sox lineup's in a bad way, too. I mean, Valdez was hitting cleanup the other day. It's pretty bad.
It's too bad because 2 weeks ago it looked really good, and then you got Story, Devers, and O'Neill, and you're like, oh, it just got decimated.
Absolutely, and now Cassis too.
And now Cassis, then you got Whitlock on the IM. They're getting brutalized.
Nevada
too. That's right. Yeah, it's just been.
Yeah.
The fact that they're hanging in there is pretty impressive so far.
Yeah.
It's because Tanner Houck is a hero.
Great American hero. Absolutely. Yeah.
Other names on offense, Tommy Pham, I think we talked about a little bit last week, but obviously signed with the White Sox, playing in the minors right now. He was available about 35% of main events. Ahmed Mazario in Tampa, taken in most main events, but 39% rostered in 12-teamers, second short and outfield eligible, and playing a ton with the injuries that the Tampa's had, playing really well too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I can see that. See that as good options. Didn't really see him available in my leagues, but in the case of Rosario, that is, I saw Pham available in some places. Most of my main, like my 15 teamers, Pham was snagged last week. And obviously Rosario was long gone in those formats.
Yeah. Pham was available in one of my mains. He got added for 62. I was in on the bidding, but not quite that much, but I get it. He was 16 home runs, 22 stolen bases a year ago, like not that long ago. And he's going to play. I assume when he gets to the White Sox, they're going to play him every day. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, that's right.
Some other names. Jonathan, is it Jonathan? There's no H in his name, but Jonathan Class A. Yeah, Jonathan Clase in Seattle got called up when Dominic Canzone went on the IL. Clase is a guy that just steals a lot of bases. He's only 21. I'm pretty sure that he's going to struggle hitting. He had big strikeout numbers in the minors. He was 28% last year in Double A. But along with that 28% strikeout rate, he stole 62 bases last year. That is a massive number. Dude is legit fast. He had another stolen base today. He's got two of them. He's playing every day, at least until they get healthy. He's a real legit stolen base ad.
Modicum of power too. It's not like he's yeah. Billy Hamilton up there or anything like that.
Yeah, he had 20 home runs last year in the minors.
Yeah. So I got him in AL Towers. That's the only place I got him. But he's going to play, and unless he goes Victor Scott on us, that Class A is going to stick around for a while. He could strike out 40% of the time he gets sent down. That's still a plausible scenario too. But I did spend a decent amount of money in AL Towers on him. And an AL only league, I think, is super important.
Yeah, he's played 5 games and already has 2 steals. So I think it's not only is he fast and can steal, but I think when he gets on base, he's going to go. It's just a matter of him getting on base. Will probably be pretty tough against major league pitching, but you know, we've seen it before with guys like this. You know, you can get hot for a couple of weeks where you're hitting, you know, even hitting 240, 250. He could steal, 8-10 bags for you. That'd be huge.
Yeah, it would be. And hey, we can stream stolen bases. We can stream other things. Why not?
Who else do you like this week? We got Colorado's got an interesting schedule this week. They have 4 games in Coors, and they play 2 games against the Astros in Mexico City. So kind of a really good setup for offense. I know they only play 2 games next weekend, but Mexico City in the past has been just an offensive wonderland. Sean Bouchard, who got a lot of attention in the main events and DCs and then got sent down, is back up with their injuries. Eloise Montero is playing a bunch. He was only 35% rostered in the main event. Did you do anything with Rockies or any other offensive players this week?
I did pick up Bouchard in a couple places, including one league where he's surprisingly unopposed. Like, I think it was a 12 teamer, and we know 12s are weird. So but at the same time, Bouchard was one of those Twitter caused celebrities, where like when he got sent down, everybody was mad at the Rockies. And hey, I don't need much to kind of rip on the Rockies, so I jumped on board with that one there too. So I picked up Bouchard this week, and it's funny. I was only thinking about the 4 games in Coors. I kind of forgot. Yeah, they're going to go to a planet that's even better than Coors.
Yep.
And the reason for that is that, and also the other reason why we're interested in Bouchard is Chris Bryant's on the IL. So. Yep. That's playing time right there.
It is. Yeah. He got called up when Bryant went the L. So I like that one. I actually like Montero too. I like him a little bit. In the past, it hit the ball hard. I think, you're never going to get a batting average from Montero, but if you want to stream a guy for power this week and you're in a deeper league, a 15 teamer, even probably taking an NL only, as I imagine, but a 15 teamer, he was available in most of them. 12 teamers available everywhere. If you need a power stream, he's at 40% hard hit rate. He was 44% hard hit rate last year. Yep. You could find worse guys to play for a week too. He's dropped his strikeout rate a ton, small sample, but it's way down from where it was last year too.
It is. So yeah, color me interested.
You know, who's been really, really good and available in mostly 12 teamers is Luis Garcia Jr. in Washington, playing every day for the Nationals at second base, has been really, really good hitting the ball hard. He was someone that he's hitting the middle of the order for them right now. But you look at his hard contact, 50%, 14.6% barrel rate right now. And this is not a barrel guy. And it's only 62 plate appearances, but he seems like he's changed something, striking out a little bit more. But I think you expect that with the more hard contact. And has 4 stolen bases this year too. He only stole 9 last year, but Garcia's been hitting the ball really well.
And the post hype sleeper.
Yeah, I was gonna say way down the line sleeper.
Yeah, the Nats are playing, but they're not special bad right now. They're just merely, and they might not even be bad. I don't think they're good, but they had a pretty good week against the Dodgers and Astros, no less.
They did. They played the Dodgers really well. It was very strong.
2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, and then I think 2 out of 3 against the Astros. Right. That's a good week.
That is a really good week. Is Kyle Finnegan leading the league in saves?
I think so. Again,
if he's not, he's really close, right?
Yep. I actually parted ways with Hunter Harvey in the league or two this week because, as well as Harvey's pitching, he's clearly not the guy, and I need the spot.
I was one off. He has 7. Clay Holmes actually has 8. So he just top of him. Kyle Finnegan's walking 13% of guys right now. His FIP is 5.91. His BABIP's 174. Like, this is like he is dancing through so many raindrops right now. It's wild.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing is, I know it's bad form to cut Harvey.
I actually don't think it is, because I think Finnegan's leash is really long right now.
Yeah, I think so too.
Even if it blows a couple, like I think he's put enough goodwill in these first 3.5 weeks that I think his leash got long enough where I don't think I can hold the backup right now. And I loved Hunter Harvey in draft season. I thought he would be getting the job fairly quickly, and it's not transpiring that way so far. I think it'll happen at some point, but I don't think I think he's a drop too.
Yeah. Okay, good. I feel better about that now.
Were there any catchers you do like? There's a lot of people. I noted in my one league there was nobody there, but a lot of people are looking for replacements for Francisco Alvarez, whether you're being a 12-teamer, two catchers, one catchers. Any catchers you really like? Connor Wong is available in some leagues. I kind of like Miguel Amaya in Chicago, kind of taking time from Yan Gomes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if Danny Jansen was available in your league, I think that's probably the easiest add. He just came back.
Herrera in St. Louis or something like that. Yeah. We've talked about that before, but even he has caught the Cardinals bug lately, so...
He has. There's not a lot there, but is there anybody? No. Connor Wong's playing pretty well right now. He'd probably be the one that like had some availability that I'd probably grab.
Yeah, I don't play in any one catcher leagues, so I think Wong was pretty much taken. I wasn't looking for any catchers either, so that's
a good feeling. I promise you from the last from my afternoon that looking for catchers is not fun.
Oh, I don't doubt it for a second. I've been there before, just not this
week. Danny Jansen went for 67. He was available in one of my mains. I was like, oh, nobody picked, or he got dropped last week. So I'm like, oh, I can slide him through for 25 or 30. Yeah, not even close. It was.
There's no sliding through. That's one thing I've noticed. Yeah, not early.
Definitely not in 15 teamers. There's just nobody sliding through.
Because nobody has given up yet. Nobody is like beaten down, like, oh, I'm the Marlins of this league. No, nobody's like that yet.
Just to prove your point, I'm just looking at one of my main events. There were 15 guys for $20 or more added. Every single one of those had a backup bid. So there's nobody sliding through anybody. You're right.
Brutal.
Yeah. Anybody else that you liked on offense? Davis Schneider's been playing a bunch in Toronto, had a home run today. Abraham Toro's leading off for the A's, but he's still Abraham Toro. Anybody else offensive wise you found yourself looking at before we jump into pitching?
Well, we picked up Tyler Freeman.
I like the third base outfield eligibility on him.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, currently we have Jordan Westberg at corner, and we've got Jonathan India at second base. If India's illness keeps him out anymore, we'll have to slide Westberg to second base, so we needed someone corner or second base eligible. Or we are just going to deal with it for, like,
what,
4 days.
What round did you guys get Westberg? Do you remember?
I'm pulling it up right now, as a matter of fact.
Has to be one of the better April values so far. He's at... He's 333 with 5 homers and 3 stolen bases. I don't know if you've looked at it. You own him, so you probably haven't looked at him very much because you don't need to because you have him. 60% hard hit rate so far. He is massive.
Is that good? Yeah. That's pretty darn good. 23rd round.
Looks good. Yeah. That is such a great pick. And we talked about him, and it's just a smart, really good pick. And I like when those work out really well. I mean, it's really good right there.
It was in 23rd round. I got that wrong. Oh, I was looking at the wrong league. I got to know this now. Now that you asked me, it's bugging me. So bear with me for a sec. This is great podcasting right now. I reached for Westbrook. Got him at the last pick of the 18th round.
All my comments go away, Jeff. That's the no value anymore.
No, it makes it even better. I had the gift of prophecy, apparently. I think that was one of the earlier picks on him. And then I got Kowser at 26-15 also. So those
you guys held him, right?
Yep, of course.
Yeah. Man, that is beautiful. I mean, Westberg's got 18 RBI. He's got 14 runs scored. Like I said, the 5 homers and 3 steals and hit 333. I mean, and most importantly with someone like him with the big Aprils, like his playing time is set now. Like the leash is huge. The leash is long. If he had started slow, who knows what happens there? They get some, some veterans in there with Urias or Mateo, whatever it may be. But now that he's played well, like you just run now. It's beautiful.
Yeah. We weren't the min on Westberg. Someone picked him at pick 221. That's
so 15 rounds.
The thing is, he had a good spring, so we're kind of looking at that, it was one of those where like, oh yeah, and he fit the second and third eligibility is a beautiful thing.
It is beautiful. Yeah, it covers a lot of stuff there. Some of the chat was asking about if we like Mauricio Dubon as a pickup. He's playing a bunch for the Astros. Mm-hmm. He's always just kind of a guy to me. Like, it's just there's not a lot of power. There's not a lot of speed. I always find it hard. If you need some batting average, he hit 278 last year, really solid there. But he's someone that has to have the batting average because he doesn't run or really have much pop.
Yeah.
I always thought he'd run more than he does. He just doesn't. Like, he had 7 steals this year. That was a career high.
Yeah, and Dusty lets his players run too, so it wasn't a manager issue.
No, it was with the new rules. He stole seven, so maybe, but no hard contact. I'm never much of a Dubon guy. I think that if you need batting average, he's an okay fill in a deeper league, but that's kind of the extent of it.
Yep.
Let's talk pitching fab. But first, a note from our sponsors at Vivid Seats. Finally, baseball's back. This MLB season, knock it out of the park with Vivid Seats and score great tickets to the biggest games of the year. Every fastball, every home run, and every eye-popping play of your favorite team, live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, you earn rewards with every single purchase. Just buy 10 tickets, then cash in your credit towards your free 11th ticket. Talk about an easy win. Here's a pro reward tip. When buying tickets for your whole group, split the bill and make progress towards your free 11th ticket even faster. From behind the dugout to the upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all the 2024 games that matter to you. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app. Vivid Seats, experience it live. See VividSeats.com/rewards for all terms and conditions.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So Jeff, I want to talk about some struggling hitters, so we'll do pitchers fairly quickly here. There's not a lot of them there. What were you doing with starting pitchers this week? Were you an Albert Suarez guy in Baltimore, the yes. the mid-30s pitcher who has looked really good in spring too?
My top guy.
I was going to say, as we've talked about before, last couple weeks, I found starting pitching really difficult again this week.
Yeah, although even with Suarez, I'm excited about him. I like the lack of walks. That was a beautiful thing in his first start. But it looks like there's a possibility he only gets one start, not two. They might skip him to get I think that would allow Grayson to go twice this week, in part because John Means is coming back subsequent week. Now, if Suarez deals tomorrow, which I think it's tomorrow, then maybe the Orioles will feel compelled to give him that second start. Or find another way to keep him in the rotation. I think that's among the range of outcomes here. And they got a good outing out of Cole Irvin today, so that kind of pumps the brakes on replacing him. But, you look at it, it's like, okay, there's Suarez against the Angels. I wish it was home instead of at Anaheim, but still, I like it. Yeah. Dean Kramer hasn't been very good, although he was better in his most recent start. I don't think Kramer was that good. I don't know. I don't have him. I was avoiding him, but, There's a pathway there for Suarez to stay in the rotation for a while. Bradish is kind of getting knocked around in his spring minor league rehab assignment. I think it'll give him a little bit more time on Bradish. They can buy some time. So yeah, I was big on Suarez. I got him in AL Tout. I got him in a couple other places as well in the NFBC environment, not in the main, cause we never get the big names in the main, but we have been bidding on him.
How much did he go for in your main? It was like kind of in the 20s in mine. It looked like.
Let us see. He went Albert Suarez in my main event went for 39.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he went for 25 and 23 in mine. It's about right. It's interesting because I kind of liked it too, but the start tomorrow, like you mentioned, the start is huge. If he is not great, he might be done before we get to really pitch him. But if he's really good, then he gets a second start this weekend against Oakland. That would be really nice. So it's all kind of a guess. A lot of it's John Means, a lot of it's Kyle Bradish, but I like Suarez too. I mean, I know it's a weird story. He pitched overseas. He's 34. Yep. He was pitching for the Rays rookie ball in 2008. That was 16 years ago. So, I mean, we're talking someone who started when he was 18, finally kind of making it. It's a fun story. I'm rooting for him. He's looked really good. I liked him too. He was my top pitcher. I don't think I got him anywhere. Maybe in, I think I'm in yogurt, your favorite. I like it. It's just, this starts really big.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. But I kept on getting, you know, beat out on him in a lot of the NFPC environments. I was in on him everywhere, but just didn't seem to get him, it seemed like, which is really weird. I got him in Scarf. I actually I have a yawning, gaping need for starting pitching in Scarf. So I bid 103 for him there. Second place was 37. It was a league where I had like 950 left. I was sick and tired of getting outbid, so I went a little extra. Probably not the most disciplined approach, but I did get Suarez there.
The guy that I like is Jake Irvin in Washington, but he just keeps facing the Dodgers. It just every time I look, it's like, oh, facing the Dodgers. But he's got 20% strikeout rate, 7% walk rate so far in 23 innings. I looked at him as a sit the first week you have him, and then you pitch him next week. Two-step at Miami and home Toronto, I thought was not too bad. But, I mean, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing here. I mean, I liked Keaton Wynn in a 12-teamer for the Giants pitcher. He was about 53% rostered there. He has two starts this week. So I thought that Keaton Wynn's an interesting arm. He's against the Mets and the Pirates this week. I do like that as a two-step. But it was tough to find guys. And we talked about Jack Leiter if you wanted to stash him. Tyler Alexander in Tampa's pitching okay, but you know I added him in one spot. It's kind of down my waterfall. I got to say it before you did. What about Ben Lively in Cleveland? I looked at him and then I realized that he's facing Boston and at Atlanta this week, and I was like, oh, that's kind of scary.
But remember, it's Boston missing four starters.
Although they might, if both O'Neill and Devers are back on Tuesday, that changes a little bit at least.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But it's still at Atlanta Sunday too.
Yeah. I had a John Gray in a 12, but as far as the 15s go, it was just very tough sledding this week to find pitchers that I liked.
Someone in the chat mentioned Ryan Weathers. I would have got him for sure. He was taken in all my leagues. He's been rostered for a few weeks in 15ers. But what about relievers, Jeff? We had some movement in the relieving world in a couple of teams, both the Cubs and the Brewers. I think everybody was surprised to see Abner Uribe pitching like the fourth inning of the game this week, and it looks like. And then McGill came in, couldn't get a two-inning save. Piamps has three saves now. And then we got the Cubs. Craig Counsell said after the game, after his fourth blown save already this year, that Adbert Alzolay is no longer the closer, at least for right now. Hector Neris in the mix. Mark Leiter in the mix. We talked about how there was a second Leiter added. Did you anything with these bullpens? How are your bullpens so far? Do you need closers?
I always need closers, Scott. Always.
We all do.
I mean, who doesn't?
Jordan Romano, two saves this week and back. It was huge.
That I agree. Main event. You and I both were sharing that love. That's for sure.
I want to give you some props. You said when we were talking last week, you're like, I'm definitely starting Romano this week. And I looked at it closer and I started him too. And I would have very disappointed if I had not started him, even though he was not activated Monday. He was activated Tuesday and had two saves this week.
Yeah. Neris went for 131 in my main, for what it's worth. So I didn't get him there. I got him in Scarf. Because I was a buyer in Scarf this week. Very aggressive buyer. Last week, I got nothing and liked it. Like zero players last week. And I think that's happened to me twice out of like 5 weeks. Not good. Not good at all. And in another league, I got outbid on Neris in a 12. I did add Mark Leiter Jr., who has actually been the better pitcher of the two. Like Neris is like a 1.7 whip right now.
He's not been good. Yeah. He was really good last year, but he's not been good so far this year. I still think Neris is the first guy on the list. I prioritized him over Leiter, although I admit has pitched better.
Yeah. So I was in on a I do think that there's long term possibilities for Chicago here if one of them takes the ball and runs with it. But it could be Ben Brown too, for all we know. Like they could set
I would love that. They took him out of the rotation. He's pitching out of the pen now, which I would have kept him in the rotation and sent Kyle Hendricks somewhere else, but
yeah,
they stuck with Hendricks. I would love if Brown was closing games. I think that'd be nice.
That's not going to last much longer. They can't keep doing that. They're a contending team. They can't just keep living with that. I love Kyle Hendricks, but I think we're at the end of the line here.
So I sent you a text message after I sent you today's outline saying that I missed somebody. And that was, I want to go back real quick because I missed him again. Mitchell Parker with Washington.
Parker. Yep.
Pitched really well this week and against the Astros today, shut them down and looked good against the Dodgers early in the week too. I was like, I like the crazy thing of that game. He was facing Glasnow on Tuesday. The Dodgers are minus 390 in that game, which you never see in baseball games. The Nationals won the game too. I was like, I had to look and I'm like, oh, Glasnow facing someone named Mitchell Parker. I didn't know it was at the time. Looked really good today. He had 8 strikeouts, 3 hits, no walks against the Astros, no runs given up. This is someone that in 2023 in Double A had a 4.2 ERA, 1.35 WHIP. He just walked too many guys, but Has already struck out a lot of guys. You look at his K numbers in the minors, have been really, really good. I watched him today a little bit. He throws like a, it's like a kind of in between a cutter and a slider. It's probably listed as a slider, but looked really good. Was really busting righties kind of down and in with that pitch. He looked really good. I upped my bids for him. He was one that got some of the chat mentioned the Sunday tax. He got the Sunday tax big time this week. He went for 87 in one of my main events league. He was popular.
Yeah. Didn't get him. He was a waterfall guy for me, and maybe I should have been, you know, I mean, that's pretty good. He went 29 in one of my mains, Stephen Goodwin, team two next to us, guy sat next to us in the draft. So good player. He was in on him. I know he plays a multiple NFBC big money events, so he knows what he's doing out there. Yeah. I wish I would have had, I wish I would have kind of maybe gone in a little bit higher on them.
Yeah, I upped my bids and I still did not get him. But when I watched him, I actually thought he was not a smoke and mirrors kind of guy when I watched him. I thought he looked pretty good. Someone asked Jack Mitchell Parker or Mackenzie Gore. I would still go Mackenzie Gore. I still like the stuff there with Gore. But so Jeff, let's talk about some slow starting hitters. We've kind of hit on a couple as we've gone through here. I just want to end with a couple of guys. It seems to me, and it might just be recently biased me remembering, but it seems like there's a lot more big names. A full like almost month in the season, we're hitting under 200. We got a lot of guys in baseball hitting 200. Like, yeah. Look at the White Sox, like three of their top five guys are hitting 200. But first guy I want to ask you about is someone that was like a third rounder. Kind of one of those guys you felt like was really solid. It's Randy Arozarena in Tampa. He has been hit. He's in 165 right now. He has two home runs, does have four stolen bases. You know, kind of why you have him is the speed power combo, but 165 barrel rates down, hard hit rates down, strikeout rates is up. He's kind of hit dropped that strikeout rate the last couple of years, up a little bit to 27%, walking less. I think the answer in most of these is like you just got to start him. You're not worried, but are you worried at all about Arozarena so far?
No, I think I only have him in one league, and I'm not doing anything about it. I'm just leaving him.
Yeah, I mean you kind of have to. But yeah, 165 is it's brutal. I mean, we're through 86 plate appearances, and I know you have slumps during the year, but man, they get so much more harder to deal when they're to start the year out.
I mean, the only thing that is, with any of these like mega slow starters, I was gonna say slow slumpers, but those are conflicting terms.
Yeah,
is like if they're hiding an injury, that's the thing that would bother me, but. I know
mine is if I see like a huge change in their strikeout rate or something, he's up a little bit, but you scroll over and you look into his BABIP is 204 right now. And that makes me think that I think we're going to be just fine with Arozarena.
Yeah, maybe. And then you look at like, you know, you want to check like the StatCast stuff. Is he like hitting it a lot softer? Is there something like to do with that? Yeah. You know, Todd Zola and I were talking about on SiriusXM today, which was also referring to Jason Collette's excellent article and Collette calls on, you can see on RotoWire. Which you can check out for yourself, rotowire.com/pod. Get a free peek behind our paywall. Jason wrote about this, how the batted ball events aren't producing the averages and power numbers that we'd expect. And so, like, barrels aren't going as far. You're not getting the home runs you should from the exit velocities that are being produced. So it's interesting, like, what's happening with the ball.
That's, I mean, my first question, but yeah, if you're having the exact same, you know, launch angle and degree and all that kind of stuff and velocity and it's not going as far, that's obviously a ball thing at the moment, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So someone that I think with Arozarena, once I looked at the BABIP, I kind of was like, yeah, he's going to be fine. But someone who was not as nearly as popular, but was a huge prospect last year is Jordan Walker in St. Louis, one of many Cardinals that's struggling. Walker's at 164, no home runs, no steals. Barrel rate's actually pretty good, 12.5%, but he's striking out a bunch, 27%. He was 22.5% last year. You know, did hit 276 last year. I think he was kind of considered a bust last year, but there was some good stuff when he came back up. Do you think Walker's up for good? Do you think there's a chance they send him back to AAA? What do you think we do with Walker here?
Again, you know, I want to preach patience. I think that's the right play.
This is a harder, much harder one though than Arozarena.
It is, especially because the Cardinals, the malaise that we talked about earlier about the team as a whole. He's young enough with options to be the scapegoat, you know. But then again, the question is, okay, who are they going to slot in place of Jordan Walker? And that's kind of been their problem.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm them, I just let him go a little bit longer. I don't think 3.5 weeks is a long enough leash, but. You got to start to worry a little bit if you have him. Do you bench him? Do you keep playing him? If you're in a 15 teamer, do you find somebody else to play him and just kind of let him chill for a little bit? How would you handle that?
I'm probably playing him. I might need to see, like, if, like, I think maybe in a 12 I could find a pivot, but I hate trying to time the market, Scott. I think
it's a fair point.
But then again, Walker doesn't have the track record yet at the big league level that maybe merits the patience that I want to give him. You know, I think it's a fair concern. Just like it's a, you know, a fair concern about some of these other young players that are starting slowly.
I think I'm a hold on Walker, but I think I'm trying to find a way to bench him, and I'm going to go ahead and time it. You can go up series by series.
Yeah.
I'd like to see something. I mean, no home runs and no steals is really tough. A couple of people in the chat mentioned the cold. I think that impacts the ball flight too. So that's a fair point too. Is it warmer? Maybe we see some more of that, but
yeah, that doesn't affect a Rosarena, but
no, well, yeah, unless he's playing on the road, I suppose. But yeah. Jordan Walker's teammate, if we're going to talk about someone that there are some things that look different if you look at the stat cast and all that, Paul Goldschmidt hitting 173 with one home run. Hard hit rate last year was 51%, right now 31%. Barrel rate last year was 12%, right now 2%. Strikeout rate was 23% last year, now it's 28.5%. He's slugging 213 right now. OEP is 279. Is there enough here that at this point of the season that you are worried about Goldschmidt? Because I think at age 36, I start to worry about Goldie at this point.
Yeah. I think there's a chance he goes second half Abreu at some point. He might be like a year behind Jose Abreu in terms of the slump early, get it figured out sort of thing. But he was declining last year too. Goldie was. It's interesting because Goldie actually went through a decline phase before he had like his big seasons in St. Louis though too. And you're kind of like, Ooh, okay. This is why Arizona was willing to let him go, you know? And so it's possible still that, that was his, like, I'm not trying to think of the right phrase for this here. I wouldn't say it was like a last kick per se, but you know, that we've seen this sort of decline before. So this one might be more for real this time. I don't know. What do you think?
I'd be worried. I just think there's enough there that, like we talked about with Rosarena, like not much has changed except for the BABIP and a few things here and there, like a little percentages. Goldie has looked lost. He's looked bad. He's looked slow. He's looked a little old right now. It's just everything is the wrong direction. Swing strike rates at 12.2%. He's never been above 11% since his rookie year in Arizona. So, I mean, there's enough here. I mean, if you drafted Goldschmidt, you got to keep playing him. I don't think you can do anything with him yet, but he's one that I would keep watching those numbers, and I would I'm worried on Goldschmidt, whereas the ones we talked about before, I'm not really that worried. With someone like a Rosarena, like someone like Aaron Judge, I'm not even worried about it a little bit. I know he's under 200 also, but Goldie's the one of like the top 10 round guys that I'd be really concerned about.
Yeah, I get you on that one there. I think at least you know he'll keep playing, whereas Jordan Walker might not. I mean, I think Walker sat a game against Oakland earlier this week. I guess he sat today too. So
yeah,
obviously I don't have Walker, so I'm not as acutely attuned into this. That's two sits in 1 week. Yep. Okay.
Frustrating. Now, in a 15 teamer, I still have to hold him. I still don't
think I can cut him hold, quite yet, 12, but I'm cut.
Yeah. I think I'm finding a way to bench him and chill for a week or so and see what the Cardinals do. Cause there's a comment in the chat that he's not playing. Like that's the problem. If he's not playing, then, they're losing confidence in him at the same time.
Yeah. Maybe not cut, but definitely bench in a 12 and you could even bench in a 15. I wouldn't argue with you too much on that.
We talked about the Astros a little bit earlier and how much they are struggling, and kind of at the center of that is Alex Bregman, their third baseman. Hitting 225, so a little bit higher than the guys we've talked about before, but zero home runs, one stolen base, three runs scored on the year. Somehow he's played 19 games, scored three runs. Like, that just kills you right there. It's like, runs is this one stat we don't always look at when we're looking at guys, but three runs is brutal. OBP's down 50 points from his norm. Usually he's about a 360s guy. He's never one who has a hard hit rate that you jump at anyway, and it's just kind of in the same line. Barrel rate's 3.2%. Maybe he's just not getting those Crawford box home runs or something, but it's been a really rough first month for Bregman.
Contract year theory is not working out for him at all.
Oh, that's right. You're right. He's going for contract.
Oof. Yeah. And it's just a reminder that not everybody responds that way. It's not just a matter of turning on the switch. You know, that's the thing I kind of hated about contract years talk about that is like people assume that, it's playoff Jimmy. It's contract year Alex. Well, It might not be the case. It's, you know, baseball's hard, as it turns out, and you can't just turn it on and off.
I remember the Marcus Semien contract year and just how bad. Yeah. You could just like visually, you could like see him pressing at the plate, and just one of the, some guys react to it differently. And he's been obviously awesome since then, since the A's offered him whatever that $200,000 over 40 years contract, whatever it was. But I mean, he's what you see. There's some guys that just, and I think it's paid over however many years, but there's some guys who don't deal with that. You could like see him. You could see when he, the first couple of weeks he was struggling. It was the COVID year too. So he knew like, I only got 40 games left to get my contract. You can just tell it wears on guys. But, it's a good point with Bregman. He is not doing himself many years, but he not looked good so far. Another infielder who's not looked good, Gleyber Torres in New York. I think he's someone that, like, as you're drafting, you get to the spot where you're like, oh, I'll just take Gleyber Torres. He's safe. He's easy. He's fine. He'll hit 25 home runs, hit 265. We'll call it a day. No home runs so far, hitting .195. He has 2 RBI on the year, which is crazy number considering he's played 21 games. Like, we talk about that Bregman's runs killing you. If you drafted Torres, he has 2 RBIs. That kills you too. He's another one, kind of like Goldschmidt, that looks a lot different at the plate right now. Hard hit rate's down 8%, barrel rate's down 4%. His strikeout rate is up 11%. He dropped it to 40% last year. He was kind of a low 20s guy, then down to 40% last year, dropped it really nicely. Back up to 25%, swing strike rate's back up a little bit. Are you concerned about Gleyber at all in here?
Yeah, not really. I think, in fact, I try to trade for him right now. I mean, I think that lineup's so good. I know Judge is slumping right now. Got booed on Saturday. I think.
By the way, that's truly absurd. Boo Stanton, if you want. You can't boo Judge.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. We.
I know.
Something. New York fans.
Right. Still, but it's Judge. Like, he's your captain. He's like, come on, stop.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that, and you know that. The threat that I don't think Torres is ever a threat to lose his job. He might be a threat to get moved down in the order. I think that's the thing that's kind of like a real possibility.
It's crazy he has 2 RBI though, like on that team. It seems impossible, but I kind of lean with you too. Although I is someone to monitor a little bit. Not quite as worried as I am with Goldschmidt, but you know that you see some of the stuff. Some of the Statcast numbers and the strikeout rate, kind of vary that much. You worry a little bit, but that's one that, you know, in a week or two, you want to check that and see if it's kind of coming back down to the norm or if it's still kind of at these new levels. But last couple guys I want to ask you about are on the same team. Same team being the Pittsburgh Pirates. Cabrian Hayes was a monster in spring training. He was hitting the ball hard, hitting home runs. Season started, and that has fully gone away. He has no home runs so far. He has no stolen bases. He's hitting .264, so he's not killing you there. But just kind of wild that he was going crazy in the spring, and it's just kind of all going. His barrel rate's under 2%. Not really hitting it hard like he was in spring training.
Right. Well, it's almost like he's facing better pitchers in the regular season.
That might be a factor too. It's. He's walking a lot. He's not striking out. So I'm, you know, BABIP's fine. Obviously the average is fine. It's just weird. He's not hitting for any pop. And I guess, but it's weird. His OBP is .380. So he's getting on base, but he's not running at all. He's gone 20 stolen bases in 2022, 10 last year, and now 0 so far this year.
I kind of feel like we wanted to find reasons to believe in him.
Yeah. And it's funny because we talked about how we thought the steals weren't going to be there, but the power was going to come back up a little bit from the 15, maybe in the low 20s. And, neither one's happened. So we're kind of right in the speed, but wrong on the power so far.
I kind of resisted until late, and then I added him, I think, in a 12-teamer, or maybe I have it in Scarf too, but because that Scarf team is really bad.
He was a big-time FOMO guy for me. I wanted to get him, and he just kept going up higher and higher, and I never ended up getting him, and so far so good, I guess. I think he's going to be fine, but it's just been weird how the power's just been lost. And that's maybe it's a cold weather thing in Pittsburgh too. That doesn't help there.
That could be part of it too. Yeah. And again, today is what, April 21st? Yeah, we got a lot of time before these players can start turning around. You're right. I think we kind of like we found indicate, you know, he showed some indicators, and then I think we amplified him because we like him, you know.
I think that's fair. Jeff, do you know who hit 8th for the Pirates today?
Yes, I do. Because I told you to add him to the outline. O'Neill Cruz.
I set you up too easily there.
Yeah, and their MLB.com had a "We're Still Believing in O'Neill Cruz" article today, so it kind of shows you where he's at.
He is at 214. I guess he's 209 after today's games. Three home runs, 2 stolen bases. The issue here is the strikeouts have been just mammoth. He's at 41%, 40.5% strikeout rate right now. He only had one strikeout today, so his strikeout rate went down with only one strikeout. It's funny because we talked about him, we talked about Ellie, we talked about CJ Abrams, kind of these guys that Abrams doesn't have the strikeout issue as much, but you know, these young toolsy guys, and everybody's like, oh, I told you Ellie and CJ Abrams would be great. They have been, but you know, O'Neill Cruz with 41% strikeout rate has really struggled. Where do you think this goes? You think we're looking at you know, he's missed a year and he's kind of rusty and coming back, or where do you feel about O'Neill Cruz kind of going forward here?
He missed a year, was rusty and coming back, and he was unfinished to begin with. You know, yeah. He wasn't great in his rookie year, especially. He had a very similar Ellie-esque finish to his rookie season. And he wasn't off to a tremendous start in those 9 games that he played last year. He's an unfinished player. It might come back. I just don't know when it's going to come back. And I think that's the tricky thing. And to what extent? It may not be till 2025.
Hitting 8th is not great.
No, it's not. But it's funny, you know, how many times we get the, you know, why draft Ellie here when you can get O'Neill 4 rounds later? And well, that's why.
He doesn't have 50% hard hit, right? He's hitting the ball really hard when he does hit it. It's just that 40% strikeout rate. I mean, that you can have big strikeout rates. 40% is one that's just going to, it's going to kill you. It's going to make your average. It's going to be so bad. It's just, you got to get that down. You look at Ellie. Ellie's down from 34% to 31%. But the interesting thing with Ellie is he's walking right now. He's at 13.5% walk rate. Got to like that as a step right there.
Yeah, he had a great week. And in part, he's walking more because the Reds lineup around him is not as strong as we expected it to be. And then they took out, like, Encarnacion Strand missed a couple days to illness. He returned this weekend, though, and finally had a big double today, but hasn't been that guy that we are hoping for so far. India went through a massive slump and then was out of the lineup the last couple of days because of an illness. I mean, you're going to walk the guy that can hurt you. Ellie is the guy that can hurt you. So although he can hurt you on the base pass too, as the Angels found out when he stole a base, stole third, and then scored on the throwing error. So that's still, like, he can hurt you that way too, which is the best thing. But Ellie walked 4 times on Saturday. That was fun.
Yeah. He has an 18% barrel rate right now. Like I said, the strikeouts are down a little bit. I mean, the 290, I think, is not going to stick. The BABIP's really high, and he's still striking out a lot. But 6 home runs, 10 stolen bases. I mean, he looks like he could be a 50 stolen base guy, and kind of with some ease. It's crazy to say, but if he stays healthy, you got to think 50 is the floor right now.
Dude, his stride is so beautiful. I love
it. He's so freaking fast. It's wild. It's like 4 steps in the second base. It's like, I don't know how you ever catch him. It's just he is amazingly fun to watch. It is very nice you have him on your favorite team.
Yes, it is. It is. It's fun to have that player.
It does not happen very often, and when it happens, it's very, very enjoyable.
Indeed.
Anybody else you want to talk about? Anything else on your mind? Anything else you got going on you want to discuss?
No, I think I'm good.
I think so too. I think we kind of hit everybody. A lot of interesting talk about some of the slow starters and a lot of Fab this week. I think the Fab offense. We're going to have a couple guys this week that we're bid on that are going to be impact guys, which we haven't had much of. This is the first time that in a couple weeks that I thought there was some offense to bid on. So want to thank everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Obviously, we didn't get to every offensive slow starter. I saw some comments in the chat about some other names. You know, we just couldn't get to everybody. There's a lot of offensive
slow starters. We can't go for 10 hours here. You know,
that's all I got to do is open up my roster, and we can start right there. But want to thank everybody for listening. Always always fun, always enjoyable talks in baseball with everybody. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, Jeff is at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jensted. By the way, thanks to Kevin Hastings for the nice comment about the Stump the Schwab post I had earlier this week from, that was, it was really sad news. I was on that show. People didn't know. And, Howie Schwab was really just a really nice, cool guy. So
yes, I've heard that from every single person that's met him too.
Wild that, that it was him and Stuart Scott and both of us are no longer with us. It's really, really sad on that, but, they were both great to hang out with for a couple of days that it was in New York for that. So, thanks for Kevin to that comment. Other than that, if you want to hit us up, do that. We'll be back at you next Sunday. I want to thank Prize Picks for the sponsorship. Again, the code for Prize Picks is ROTOPOD. That's ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Other than that, back at you next Sunday. Hopefully everybody has a good fantasy week and take care.